We're in a series called the School of Wisdom series, right? Everybody's on board? Oh, yeah. Okay. Good. I love this series because it talks about wisdom, and wisdom is something that we definitely all want to be. We want to be wise. So I titled the sermon today, Be a Wise Guy. If you're a girl, then be a wise girl. Not the wise guy, but that wise guy. Okay. You know, wisdom is something that it's not just in the church. It's in the world, right? I mean, there's a wisdom that is of the world, and sometimes that wisdom is contrary to the wisdom of God. But also, there are things in the world, people are wise in this world, that are right in line with the wisdom of God. Because things like honesty, hard work produces good results. Those kind of things are something that people have learned through time, and they've shared it with other people. So wisdom is not just confined in the church. And sometimes when you come across wisdom, it makes you realize how important wisdom is. When I was in high school, I played football, and I was in a game where I lost track of downs, and it was third down, and I made a dumb call. We didn't get the first down. And I really wanted to go for it on fourth down. I mean, I really wanted to go for it. My coach was sending in the punting team, and I was like trying to tell him, no, like that, you know. When I got to the sideline, I was kind of pouting. I was a high school senior, and I was kind of like pouting, like, oh, the coach didn't trust me, you know, and everything. And we played on Friday nights. That Sunday at church, I was really convicted about my attitude. I mean, I felt really bad. And so Monday morning, I was going in to apologize to the coach. And Coach Durr, incredible guy, he brings me in before I even go to see him. And he says, Ken, let's have a talk. And he brings me in and he says, I went and reviewed all the plays that were called. And what we should have done was we should have gone for it. And he said, but not only that, what bothered me most was is we were in conflict and we didn't talk about it. I should have called a timeout, and we should have talked about it to see what we thought. I was going in there to apologize to the guy, to tell him what a brat I was, what a knucklehead I was. And he turns around and he treats me with such respect that I came out of there thinking I'd run through a wall for him. The wisdom that he showed in that situation. And that has had a profound effect on me, because even when I think about it, a lot of times with the teams that I've coached in hockey, in different... For children, this is our mandate, to receive instructions, to learn knowledge, gain wisdom and understanding. This is so important. All you young people, you should want to receive instruction and learn and grow in understanding. And that should apply to all of us. That all of us should be wanting to learn and grow. When parents are not teaching their children wisdom, when children are not receiving from their parents wisdom and instructions, there will be a generation that will be drifting and not knowing how to live life well. So seek after wisdom. You know, there's a difficulty for a generation that does not seek wisdom, because if they do, then they will not understand important matters like wisdom, values, priorities. And those wisdom, values, and priorities will not be established in them. And practical matters like competencies, skills, work ethic, discipline, self-control will not have been taught to them. And there will be a generation that will be adrift, not knowing what to do with their lives. Every young person who's listening, I want to tell you, establish wisdom in your life, because then it will establish values and priorities for yourself. And not only that, understand how to establish competencies and skills in your life, work ethic, discipline, and self-control. These are critical matters that we need to establish in our lives. And if you haven't really sought this out, then seek it out. I've shared this many times with high school students. I ask them, what are they going to do with their lives? And they have no idea. They don't know what their competencies are. They don't know what their core competencies are. They don't have skills. They don't know where they're going. They're hoping to land a job, but they don't know what kind of job to land. And they'll turn into dead-end jobs for them. It is important. Wisdom talks about this, about developing core competencies and skills. Did you know that in the book of Exodus, when they were building the temple, or the tabernacle, actually, at that time, the tabernacle of God, he said that he put in people certain wisdom to know how to do craftsmanship, so that the temple would be beautiful, the articles of the temple would be beautiful, and that there would be something that people would see and see that there's wisdom in there. God intends for us to be competent, to use our skills, to live life well. So I want to encourage you. Now, some people may be thinking, well, I don't have someone to teach me, or my parents aren't interested in teaching me that, or my father is not around, or my mother isn't around. I mean, you may be thinking, well, what am I supposed to do? And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You can have mentors. If you look in the New Testament, when the church was moving and the Apostle Paul went from place to place establishing churches, he mentored young men who would become pastors, who would become the next generation of people. He took the time to mentor them. He took the time to spend time with them. He walked the path with them. He took them on missionary journeys. People like Silas, Paul, Timothy. They're people who were his sons in faith. They were his. He was a spiritual father to them, and they were a spiritual son to him. The mentors are important. In Timothy, it talks about this, that the older women should be taking younger women and helping them learn and grow. We have an incredible amount of women here in this church that are just wise people. And I'll tell you, young women here in this church, there's so much that you can learn from them. And I would say that same with the men. Have mentors. You know, I don't know what people's core competencies are, but it's important that you discover them. That some people have natural core competencies or skills. Some people have a passion, and that passion develops their skills. And honestly, there are some people who are given some supernatural giftings too. I heard about this guy that, you know, he wanted to be a missionary, but he wasn't very good in ministry. But one thing he was really good at was making money. I mean, he just knew how to make money. And so he made a commitment that he wasn't good at being out in the field, but he would give half of the income of his life, you know, he would give it away. And that thing grew and grew so that he started giving more and more of his money to support missionaries around the world, to support ministries. You know what? When you find your core competency, you feel like you are doing something that has meaning and has purpose. This is what it means when you talk about wisdom being in your life. I love it when I'm talking to some of the young people who are developing skills. I mean, Evan Hess recently was talking about his major and about databases and things like that. I like talking about databases. Hey, databases, it's great. Learning about how to take information and use it. And it's awesome. And, you know, I liked talking with Evan about this because he felt like he was developing a skill, and it's a valuable skill. These are the things that should be happening within the church. There's a quote that Napoleon Hill says. He says, "Think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another. Let me read this one more time. Think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another. You want to be somebody who is planting seeds of success in the people around you. You want to encourage them. You want to help them walk in the path of wisdom. Turn with me, chapter 2, Proverbs, page 986. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Now, see again, you hear that? Understanding, insight. These are wisdom words. Verse 4, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. I love this picture that Solomon gives. It's like he's giving wisdom in this imagery, like it's a path. And it's a path with boundaries. And this path that has boundaries that is going forward is a path where the Lord protects us from foolish choices and actions. I love that imagery because a path is not just a single choice. You don't say, I'm going to just step on this path of wisdom. But it is a series of choices to walk that path. That it is a series of choices and decisions, that it is a continuous choice that you make to walk that path. And look at what he says. He says, the Lord gives wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. The Lord holds success in store for the upright. The Lord is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. The Lord guards the course of the just. The Lord protects the way of his faithful ones. You get the picture, right? When you walk the path of wisdom, the Lord is with you in that path. It's a great imagery. And then look at what it says in verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Isn't that what you want? That you want wisdom to enter your heart and that knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. That's what wisdom is about. It goes on to say in verse 12, wisdom will save you from the way of a wicked man, of ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight path to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Now, it's saying that wisdom will save us from the path of the wicked. Wicked men, I want you to understand something here. Wicked men are not men who do the most wicked and evil thing. When the Bible talks about wickedness, wickedness is when you start to walk away from the path of God. It is not about just doing the worst possible thing. And so he's saying that we are saved from the ways of the wicked men. When you walk the path of wickedness, the problem is this. You will lose your moral compass. You will no longer know what is good and evil. In Isaiah, the prophet says that in this world, there's people who have come around so much, who have walked the path of wickedness, who have walked away from God, that they no longer know what is right and what is wrong. They call good evil and evil good. That's the problem when you walk the path of wickedness. But when you walk the path of God, in the path of wisdom, then you will delight in what is right, what is good, what is fair, what is honest. The path of wickedness, they delight in doing wrong because they no longer know what is wrong. In verse 16, it says that wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Now, this is an important thing. Everything I said about the wicked men can be applied to the adulterous women. But there's something more that is added, okay? And it is this. It is the danger of sensuality. The adulterous woman brings in something that is very different, and it's the danger of sensuality. Now, sensuality is a very powerful force, and we know that. Sexuality, sensuality, this kind of thing, it's a very powerful force. That's why the pornographic industry has gone wild. It's very powerful. Sensuality, sexuality within the confines of marriage can be an incredible healing, an incredible bonding thing. But outside of its proper areas will turn to become something that will enslave people. It's very powerful. Wisdom cries out to those who walk on her path, don't give way to the seductress. This isn't just for men. This is for women too. Don't walk the path of sensuality and forbidden desires. Married men and women, don't flirt. Sometimes it's the small things that you see that start to lead to bigger things. Flirting here and there leads to other things. Don't flirt. You don't give an opportunity for adultery. Get back on the path of wisdom and righteousness. I love in verse 11 where he says, then, when you're on that path, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Remember that. Wisdom is a path with boundaries that the Lord protects us from foolish choices and foolish actions. Point number three. Let's look at chapter 3. My son, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, this may seem like a very simple thing to say, and it may seem like a truism. But I want to share that what is so important for us to understand. There will be situations in your life where you will have no answer to this question. There will be situations in your life where you will have no answers to this question. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? And to understand that is part of wisdom. That there are things that are beyond our understanding. There are things beyond our understanding that it reminds us that God is God and that we are his creation. He is the creator and we are his creation. that we can't comprehend all things. God knows all things. We only see a little bit of it. And that some things are beyond our understanding. There's also the possibility, and you may not think it, but there's a possibility that God conceals some things from us for our benefit. That sometimes he doesn't want us to know something. That he wants us to trust him. He doesn't want us to know all things. I mean, think about it. If God is in the past, present, and future, if you wanted to be rich, you'd just say, Lord, could you tell me who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? If you knew that, you'd bet a bunch of money on that, right? Easy money. Easy money might be horrible character in your life. Because you're thinking that's the easy way to do things. That's not the path of wisdom. God conceals some things from us so that we understand that it is he is the one that we want to trust. And that there are things in our lives, there are situations in our life where we will not understand why did this happen. There's also the fact that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. This world that we live in is not heaven. If it were, we wouldn't long for heaven. We live in a fallen world where sin has reigned, where there's brokenness all around us. People who are hurting, people who are just been wounded. We live in a fallen world. And that's why sometimes we don't understand all the elements to this fallen world. And we won't understand. But here's something important for us to understand about not understanding. There's a purpose in not understanding. It reminds us that we can't control everything. As much as we'd like to be the master of our destiny, the captain of our soul, we cannot control everything. It also reminds us sometimes that failure is a part of this life. That sometimes we fail and we fall flat on our face. Like, why did this happen? But that's part of our life here. It also reminds us that God can redeem even the worst of situations. It reminds us that God can redeem even the worst of our situations. If we would trust him, we may have fallen flat on our face, but we can get back up. And if we turn to God, God can even redeem the worst of those situations. It gives us hope. And when we don't understand something, the most important thing is we must learn to trust God in all of our circumstances. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That term, he makes your path straight, is like he will guide you. Straight paths is walking with God. Crooked paths are walking your own way. He will guide you. I'm going to end on this last point here. Well, I always say last point and then I add something else, right? So I shouldn't say that. But the fourth point I want to make is this. In Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Now, this is something so important that God brings this up every so often in different places, in Psalms. He talks about this in Hebrews, about this discipline of the Lord. And when we say discipline of the Lord, we kind of think, okay, you know, God's just trying to discipline us or whatever. But the word discipline, okay, is more like a correction or chastisement. It's like trying to tell us, get back on the right course. This discipline of the Lord is to bring us on the right path. And to despise it is to regard something with contempt. distaste or disgust. Like if God is, it's like a father telling his son something and his son just detests it. He despises it. He despises his father telling him what to do. That's what it means to despise that. I mean, it's like you don't want to do what that person says. The antonym of that is you admire. When you admire somebody, you gravitate toward that. To despise it is to turn away from that. And the truth be told, most of us don't like to be corrected, right? Yeah. Thank you. We are defensive when someone corrects us. We are defensive. We don't want, who are you to tell me that? Right? And most of the time when we're defensive, the first thing we do is we lash out. Who are you? Well, I know you're pretty bad. I know all your faults. Start listing out their faults or something. And we become defensive. But do you realize that God uses different people in your life? I don't know too many people. I don't know anybody who God said, okay, you have a problem there, Ricky. You have a problem there, Kenny, Norm. And he speaks in a voice that says, okay, time for you to get disciplined. I'm going to do that directly. Most of the time when you learn instruction and you God reproves us, when he corrects us, it's through other people. God wants that. God wants us to be in that relationship with others so that God can speak into our lives. But notice something so important about this relationship. It isn't just anybody. It is this relationship between a father and son. It's a family connection. And in a family connection, though you get mad at each other, I'm talking about in a healthy family, okay? Though you get mad at each other, you don't walk away from each other forever. You walk away sometimes, but you come back. You're stuck with each other. And this is how it is, it should be in the family of God. You know, a lot of times I've been a pastor for a pretty long time, and I've seen it in this church. People have come and gone. In churches that I've been when I was growing up, people say, oh yeah, we submit to the leadership. We want to be under this umbrella of the leadership, and if they don't like something, then they just walk without talking or saying anything. Later on that you hear something's bothered them or whatever. But that's not the way it's supposed to be in the family of God. Hey, if someone feels like God is leading them somewhere, I want to pray over them and bless them if they're going somewhere. We're not trying to keep people here. The kingdom of God is bigger than Stonebridge here, right? If they belong somewhere else, then we want them to be where they're supposed to be. But if they're here, we want to help each other, correct each other, grow each other, encourage each other, support one another. And this is what the discipline of God is. Because he loves us like a son. And do you know that if you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God? So we are actually family together if we walk with God. Proverbs 10:17 says this, whoever heeds discipline, whoever responds to discipline, shows the way to life. But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. You want to be people who heed discipline, who can respond to instruction, who can respond to correction, because it leads to the way, it's the way to life. It all has to do with attitude, and that's why in wisdom, humility is always tied in to wisdom. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you want more grace in your life, then humble yourself before God. Because if God opposes you, you are not going to win. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And you say, well, I'm not a proud person. You know, I'm not a proud person. You don't really realize how oftentimes pride goes underground in your life. And you think you're not proud. But when someone says something to you and you get really defensive or angry or thing, the pride is coming out. Who are you to tell me? Just because it's underground doesn't mean that there isn't pride. Because humility is an attitude before God that understands in our place with God, we are sinners and we are broken before God. We are all broken before God, and we don't compare ourselves with each other. We're not better. We're just broken before God, and because of our brokenness, God has shown us the way of the cross so that we can come to him. Last week, ended the message about saying Christ is the wisdom of God, and my wife said to me, you need to explain that. So I want to take a little time to explain Christ as the wisdom of God. Listen to what Colossians 2 says this. He says, my goal, Apostle Paul is talking, he says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. So he's talking about that they would have just an understanding. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in Christ, he's saying that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says this, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached, referring to Christ crucified, to save those who believe. The Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach, Paul is saying, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He's saying Christ is the wisdom of God. And this is so important because if you don't get this, okay, you've really missed the whole boat. That if you miss Christ, you miss his salvation and his life. And all of history, it doesn't matter, biblical history, secular history, all of history is about bringing man back to God. And Christ is the wisdom of God. It is God's means of bringing us back to him. That is why Christ is the wisdom of God. It is why at the feet of the cross, we prostrate ourselves, because we know that in our brokenness, we deserve death. But because of Christ, we can experience life. If you miss Christ, you miss it all, salvation and life, because all of life is about coming to him and living his life in ours. This is what the wisdom of God is. So in this series, I'm excited. I'm excited because I think that for some of the young people, if you stick with this and seek after wisdom, you will be wise people. You will know your core competencies. You will know your strengths. You'll know how to live life well. And not just the young people here, all of us. We need to know how to live life well. Walking in the path of wisdom. Because Christ is there in that. I want to encourage you. There's going to be a lot of subjects that you think, you know, some of you have been married for a long time, right? We may be talking about marriage, but you know what? You probably have a lot of things about marriage that you can pass on, both good and bad. Don't think that only unless you model something great, that's all you can pass on. There are mistakes that we make that sometimes will help somebody else, right? God can take mistakes and help us to learn from it. I would venture that none of you have been successful in everything you've done. Okay? None of you. But sometimes, even in the failures of your life, God uses those failures to bring humility in you, to work something in your life. I know that because I've seen the failures in my life where God is trying to work character in my life. And that's what will happen. And God wants us to take wisdom and pass it along. Would you do that? Would you make it a point? There's some people around you probably you can mentor. There's some people that you want to be mentored by. Talk to them. God intends for the church to be a place of wisdom. And yeah, I said be a wise guy. I don't mean wise guy, but wise guy, okay? Be a wise person. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. I pray for every person that heard this message that they would really want to seek after wisdom. They would want to walk in the path of wisdom. They want to be wise. They want to make choices and decisions that keep them on the path of wisdom. That the boundaries would protect us from foolishness. Foolish choices, from meandering in life, but having purpose in life. I pray, Father, for each person here that you would just show them their core competencies and skills, not so that they can be proud, but so that they can feel confident that you're in their lives and you have a purpose for them. I pray, Father, that each one of us, each person here in this room, we will have the humility to say and confess that we need you, O Lord. We need to learn and we need to grow. We need to grow in understanding and insight. That we need to grow in compassion. That we want to know what is fair, what is right, what is good. That wisdom is sweetness to our soul. Would you help us to be like that? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.